When the founders of America established our nation on the basis of biblical principles, they could never have foreseen the day of proposed environmental regulations that could possibly undermine basic freedoms. Author and speaker Steve Gorham does not believe the message of the climate alarmists, and in fact, he has written some books about the whole issue. He is the executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, and author of four books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development. His latest book is called Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. And he writes this, quote, "My new book, Green Breakdown, shows why the net zero agenda of forced transition to renewable energy is costly, dangerous, and destined for failure," end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back Steve Gorham to discuss these things. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hi, Jerry. Great to join you again.
Sure. Okay, so potential areas that we could discuss include climate change supposedly causing inflation, the proposed ban on meat and dairy products by the World Health Organization, climate lawsuits filed by Chicago and the state of New York, the EPA Phase 3 requirements for heavy trucks, and on it goes. Oh, and by the way, I just read over the weekend that supposedly wearing blue jeans or producing blue jeans causes climate problems.
Yeah, it does, according to that article. And we also had a New Jersey senatorial candidate who said the recent earthquake in New York City was caused by the climate crisis as well.
You know, I guess at the very basic thing, we could ask this, okay? Climate alarmists essentially believe that catastrophic global warming is man-made. So one could ask, is it catastrophic? Is global warming per se bad? And is it man-made? Why don't we just start with that? In other words, is the premise of all these things incorrect? And then they go on from there.
Yes, all three of those are wrong. So climate is not man-made. Humans contribute only 1 or 2% to Earth's greenhouse effect. Water vapor is Earth's dominant greenhouse gas. And emissions of carbon dioxide from nature are 20 times as large as from humans. So it's clear that nature dominates climate change. The second thing is it bad? Probably not, because warm temperatures are better than cold temperatures. Throughout the world, people get less sick in the warm summer than they do in the winter. We have less people die in the warm summer than in the winter. So a little bit of warming is probably going to be good for everyone. And I forgot the third one that you mentioned. Is it caused by humans?
That was the main thing. Is it catastrophic?
Okay.
Is global warming per se bad? Is it man-made? So you've really covered all of those. Now, you have graphics presentations as part of your, you know, when you go out and you speak. So you had this one slide or whatever you call it, new foods for a green future, ? Food to save the planet. Food to save the planet. You have these two different articles, one out of Utah where kids were forced to eat bugs, or they were assigned to eat bugs. And one of the teachers said, quote, "There's only one right answer to this essay, and it's that Americans should be eating bugs instead of eating cows, because cows supposedly cause global warming through their flatulence," I guess.
Yeah, through methane emissions. But again, that is wrong as well. In a laboratory, methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, much more powerful than carbon dioxide. But in the atmosphere, it isn't. The atmosphere is already saturated with methane. So if we even double methane, it'll have almost no effect. It's a little bit like painting your house 7 coats of paint. Nobody would do that, because after the first 2 coats, you don't see anything. Well, we have a saturated atmosphere. Nevertheless, people are scared that cows are causing dangerous climate change. We have people trying to feed bugs in our schools to kids. Just very misguided and flat out scientifically incorrect.
And one of your graphics says that there was a Swedish scientist who was advocating eating humans to combat climate change, And after his presentation, 8% of the audience raised their hands when asked if they would be willing to try human flesh. I mean, this is getting crazy. It's as if they're throwing out all common sense in order to fight this bogeyman of man-made catastrophic global warming. And you're saying that the whole premise is wrong anyway. So why even try and fight it?
By the way, both these are sidebars in my recent book, Green Breakdown. I have about 150 color sidebars, which are true headlines of people talking about all sorts of crazy things about the climate around the world. There's a cosmetic surgeon in Southern California who is taking tissue from his patients and making fuel for his cars out of it. He was actually prosecuted. That is not something that's legal to do. But the books are color paperbacks. They're full of all these crazy sidebars that are real headlines, and it makes it a really fun read. But it also has all the information on energy and climate, so readers can find out what's really going on.
Well, I see a couple of sidebars here in an email you sent me, and it deals with electric trucks. And on the one hand, the word on the street is electric trucks don't work very well, and yet they're pushing for these things. And you're showing even in your book that they are not doing so well, in terms of the users. But the climate alarmists want us to go electric for virtually all the vehicles.
This is fantasy land. It really is. The EPA just passed their phase 3 regulations for heavy trucks, calling for certain percentage of truck fleets by 2032. But this is just crazy stuff. This isn't going to happen. Electric trucks have very poor range, only 300 miles after a charge versus 1,500 miles for a diesel truck. It takes hours to fuel them versus 15 minutes for a diesel truck. So if we converted to all electric trucks, we'd have to double the number of trucks that would be on the roads. How can that be environmentally friendly? It really isn't. The EPA is just living in a fantasy land, and this is not going to happen. This is part of the breakdown that is coming of all this net zero effort.
And explain exactly what is net zero.
So net zero is the drive by the wealthy nations of the world, the United States, Europe, and a number of others, to get rid of coal, oil, and natural gas, and get rid of the emissions from those. And net zero refers to the emissions, and try and substitute wind, solar, and biofuels for all of this. But all of our heavy industry runs on it, runs on the hydrocarbons. 95% of the vehicles on the road today run on hydrocarbons. This is beyond a reach-out goal. This is an impossibility. It's going to cause electricity prices to rise, electricity blackouts. People are going to push back on all of this. They aren't going to want to get rid of their gasoline car and their gas furnace. And so this is going to break down, and we're already seeing some examples of this around the world, but that's what the book Green Breakdown is about.
One of your sidebars says this: the push for net zero, reducing global carbon dioxide emissions to net zero by 2050, calls for nothing less. This is a direct quote. It calls for nothing less than a complete transformation of how we produce, transport, and consume energy, end quote. And this is from the International Energy Agency from October 2021.
Yeah, the International Energy Agency used to be concerned with supplies of oil when they were first put together in the 1970s. But now they've gone completely toward the craziness, I guess. Now they want to get rid of all the oil that we use. So talk about changing your charter over the last 50 years. But net zero is also a no-growth policy. Today, we have an electricity shortage globally. We have 700 million people without electrical power. We have hospitals in developing nations that don't have electricity, if you can imagine. We have another 2 billion people that have blackouts and brownouts every single day. Anybody in the United States who has an air conditioner, that appliance uses more electricity than a third of the world's people get to use on any given day. So this idea of going net zero just isn't going to happen. Nations are going to need to grow to better their societies, and it's all going to fall apart.
One of your sidebars says this: green energy means higher energy prices, electricity blackouts, less freedom, transnational energy shocks. People will demand a return to low-cost, reliable energy. You say less freedom. Could you hone in on that?
Well, we have, like we mentioned, the EPA, not only trucks, but they're trying to switch everybody's cars to electric cars. And they don't work very well in the cold weather, and they're expensive, and there aren't enough charging places around. And so people, basically says, well, you got to get rid of your gas car. You don't have a choice anymore. And I'm not against electric cars, but this idea that if we all drive electric cars, we can save the planet, that's just, that is superstition. And the other thing is your home appliances. Many people and states want people to switch from gas furnaces, gas water heaters, gas stoves, and adopt electric. That's going to raise the prices. So these things aren't going to be easy for people to accept, and they're going to push back.
And again, the question is, is this even a worthy goal? So what is so wrong with natural gas? What's wrong with oil? What's wrong with coal?
Well, what they're saying is these things emit carbon dioxide when they are combusted, and that's true, and that's causing dangerous global warming. But again, nature dominates. The greenhouse effect, the trapping of outgoing infrared radiation is blamed for man-made global warming, but it's overwhelmingly a natural effect. Water vapor is Earth's dominant greenhouse gas. Somewhere between 70 and 90% of the greenhouse effect is caused by water vapor and clouds. And then every day, nature puts 20 times as much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere as all of Earth's industries and removes about the same amount. So what we do is very, very small. It's only 1 or 2% of the greenhouse effect. If we get rid of all coal, oil, and natural gas, we may not even be able to measure the difference in global temperatures.
That's amazing. I mean, you almost wonder, is the big push for all this from the electric companies? No, I'm sure it's not that.
No, it's, well, a number of people have agendas. The fear of man-made warming is being used for all sorts of policies. Many people want to get rid of the oil and gas and industry. We have the United Nations that has some big goals. One was to become a world environmental leader, and they've seized on climate change to do that. Another is to become, to set up a world government. And Jacques Chirac, former president of France, called the first U.S. climate conferences the first example, the U.N. climate conferences the first example of world government. And the U.N. wants to redistribute wealth from the United States, Europe, and other wealthy nations to the developing world. And climate change is a great tool to do that. So there are many things being driven by the fear of man-made warming to serve other purposes.
Okay, the goal, they say, is renewables. They want wind. They want solar power. But as much as they've invested in all those things, they still, those renewable sources of energy, cannot supply what we really need, correct?
No, they're very, very small, and they really can't do it. If you're building a power plant and it gets to be night or it gets to be winter and it snows, you have to have reliable power behind it. You can't rely on wind and solar. They just can't do the job. And we're already seeing some electricity blackouts. We saw them in Texas in February 2021. The power was off for 3 days, 72 hours, and somewhere between 200 and 700 people died from that blackout.
Can I stop you right there, Steve? Was that related to this push for renewables as opposed to, trusting in the gas and the oil?
Well, it was a mix, but renewables during the winter when it's cold only put out about 4 or 5% of their rated power. It's very, very small. They also had some power lines break down with natural gas. But we are seeing across the country the length of average outage per electricity user has more than doubled in the last 10 years, according to data from the U.S. Department of Energy. And that's because we're putting in these intermittent wind and solar, and it's going to get worse and worse.
That's amazing. Well, your website for more information and to get information on your books is stevegorham.com. And it's spelled out just like it sounds. Thanks for being with us. And if you would recommend one book of yours, just give us the title, the one that would be kind of like a primer on the whole subject.
Well, Green Breakdown is great on energy, but then also The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism. Kids need to see that. They're being taught the wrong thing in schools, and it's very one-sided.
All right. Thank you, Steve. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.